Hello. Welcome to True Loveless. This is Anna, and this is my first podcast. It's August 23rd, 2016. And I'd like to do a shout out to my friend Adam Watts, who inspired me to do this. Not really certain why I'm doing a podcast yet, but let's see what unfolds as the time goes by. Anyway, I'm talking to you from Denver, Colorado, and I'm actually talking quieter than I'm talking quieter than I normally talk because I'm in a hotel room and there's other people sleeping around me. So I've closed the doors, but I don't want to be obnoxious and wake them up. But anyway, so a little bit about me is that I'm a woman. I prefer the word girl because I think woman sounds mature and grown up and as though you've already made all the decisions you need in your life and I'm the most lost person on the earth, but that's cool. I'm good with wandering and being lost. I'm a mom, but I like to call it a smother with S in the parentheses because I like smothering my kids with love. And they probably hate that, but whatever. Anyway, I'm also a writer, a songwriter. I love to write poetry. I love to write music. And at some point during the podcast, I would love to, you know, talk about writing and how to write. Because I get a lot of questions on Twitter about how to write. You know, a lot of young people are writing and trying to find their voice. And I think that it's important for someone who's been writing for a long time. I've been writing since I was like 10 years old. And I've made plenty of mistakes and I've done plenty of crappy poems and stories and songs and still do crappy ones, but it's fun to kind of share methods and things that you find work and maybe somebody else finds that fulfilling too. I'm also in the construction industry, which is crazy because my boyfriend owns a construction company and I love doing it because I think construction is really, it's another process of creativity. Like you destroy, you do demo and you destroy things and then you build things up. But anyway, I'll probably rant and rave about some of that at some point. I'm not really the boss, but I act like I'm the boss and he puts up with me. So yay, Kenny, you're cool. You put up with me. Musician, I sing. Some other things about me that I think I would love to talk about at some point is I have bipolar disorder. I suffer from a lot of depression and anxiety, and I've done a lot of research on all of those things, so I would love questions about that because maybe we can, as a conglomerate, share our ideas or I can tell you something that's worked for me. And I like to try and be as positive as possible, even though sometimes I'm a lunatic, but that's okay. Anyway, so those are the things about me. And I have some questions from Twitter that I would love to share. So let me get those up. Okay, here we go. So on Twitter, at onlymukefools, that's onlymukefools, asked, actually, it's a statement. I want to be you when I grow up. Well, thank you. I want to be you when I grow up. Actually, let's not grow up at all. Okay, so you and me against the world, not growing up. Let's see, the next question is from at Hey Violet Vines. How do you stay so positive? I don't stay positive at all. I mean, look, here's how I look at it. But thank you for thinking I'm so positive. I try to, when you meet people online or when you're conversing with people online, like you don't really know them unless you see them in your life, right? So the whole thing is like we're put here to kind of like help each other out. Even if there's no like grand scheme to anything or there's no rule book, like we're all here like brothers and sisters and we're all made of the same material, right? Skin, flesh, blood, all of that. And so, you know, I don't think I was always positive and I'm not always positive now. Like I have my days where I lose my shit and I'm ranting and raving about something or I kind of go into a corner and flip out. But the thing is that I spent a lot of years when I was younger, I was traveling and I was on the road and I really didn't understand, you know, how to control my emotions and stuff. And I was really crabby and I was cranky and I was probably a lot to handle. I mean, you know, we all are, right? So when I'm online, I try to just kind of spread positivity and look at each person as though we're all fighting the same fight. You know, we're all trying to work through our life and our questions and our issues and our insecurities and our fears. Like, we all have those things, even though they're different. And that to be shitty to someone is like, just like, why? You know, that's like letting my fear and my insecurity rule my life instead of saying, hey, we're all in the same boat. I was doing this job once for this movie star, and she has this amazing painting that's on her wall, and it's like a close-up of the Hulk. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it says, every person you meet is fighting the same battle, so be kind to everyone, you know? And that's kind of like, that's how I see life now. I don't think I was always using that as my credo, but that's how I put my foot forward now. So that's how I stay so positive. And thanks for saying that. That's really sweet. I'm sure that during my podcast or my videos, you'll notice sometimes where I'm not so positive. So that's life, right? Okay. Next question is, it's from at KMAD1030, Maddie Adams. Hi. So what is your advice for teens that want to tour but have no idea where to start? Well, I would love to do a whole either a podcast or a video on people trying to make their music dreams come true, because it's such a difficult business and it's really crazy. Like, you meet the craziest people and you sometimes can't tell, like, whether they're being truthful to you or not. Like, it's a crazy business. Anything in the entertainment field, you know, like, I live in Los Angeles and it's an array of really interesting people, because there's a lot of people there that are, you know, feeding their ego and going after their dream. And it doesn't necessarily mean negative stuff, but it's just like, they're very self-centered. And that's, you know, we all have to go through that stage in life. But then there's other people that are really integral, and they really, you know, they've been through a lot of shit and they've had a lot of backstabbing. They've had a lot of bad situations and they've tried to grab something and something's fallen through on them. And so they've become a more empathetic person. So it's a really interesting, crazy dynamic. So at some point I'd love to do a whole series of like what you should do if you're trying to, you know, make one of your artistic dreams come true. But the advice I have in short for teens that want to tour but have no idea where to start is, first of all, make sure that you're practicing. If you have the time or the finances to take lessons, take as many lessons as you can, because you can never stop learning. And like, the more you learn and the better you become as a musician, the more the opportunities are going to be there for you, right? So that's common sense. Like, just be better and better and push yourself at your craft, whether you're a singer or you're an artist or you're a musician. Like, continually look for places to learn. And if you don't have the finances, you know, we live in this world that YouTube is just so incredible. You can put anything in, like, I want to learn how to play this song or that song, and just put in the time. You know, I know it's really difficult, but you can do it. And find like-minded individuals. It's not always going to work. Like, having a band or being in a project is really difficult. You know, it's almost like those other members of your band are extensions of you, right? So when you're looking for band members, you know, I mean, it's just like a friendship. You become friends with someone because you have something in common. But you also, you know, a new friendship is like the honeymoon phase. And then things are revealed to you as the time goes on. And there's going to be moments where you're with someone in a band or you're in a project with someone, and after a certain period of time, you're going to go, hey, we're both looking in different directions, or we both have different goals. And even though I support you in what you want to do, this isn't necessarily what I want to do. So you actually have to be willing to understand that people come together and they separate, and people come together and they separate. And we have a utopian view, like, you meet someone and they're your musical soulmate, or they're your collaborative soulmate, and till death do us part, we're going to work on something, which is amazing if that happens. But also the cycle of life tells us that, like, there's a long, long journey, and you stop in different towns and you don't stay in those towns forever. And sometimes you find places that feel like home, and sometimes you feel you've found places that are just for a visit, right? And so I use that metaphor in a lot of things, like in being in a project or a band or a collaborative effort. You know, you cannot set yourself up to be inflexible and think that people are going to be with you for life. Like, you're going to learn and you're going to be part of their learning experience, but then sometimes you're going to separate. So you have to go through a few cycles of understanding and finding the right people. And that's really, that's a big part of it. So just stick it out. And even if you're in a band with five people or four people and it doesn't work out, take what you learn from that situation and then start another band or start another project or try and reconfigure it. Like, maybe it's not four people, maybe it's three, or whatever it is, like, just be flexible. I think life is about being flexible. And when we get a certain thing in our brain and we're so stuck, stuck on it, like, it creates roadblocks. So try and be flexible. Just work really hard, find people that you enjoy working with, and practice and write and just do that a lot because you just get better and better at it. Just keep pushing yourself. Okay, so thanks for that question, and I certainly rambled on about that for way too long. Okay, from Thomas Blake on Twitter at Thomas_Blake. Hi Thomas, I've known you for a long time, right? I don't remember names a lot, but I remember people's faces. So excuse me if you come up to me and I don't remember your name, but I do know your face. But Thomas has been around for a long time and I've talked to him a lot online and stuff. So anyway, his question was, do you prefer performing or doing more behind the scenes writing and creating? Well, thank you, Thomas, for your awesome question. It's a difficult question to answer because I love both of them. So there's not one I love more and one I love less. But when I'm performing, it's a much more personal experience and cathartic, meaning, like, emotionally, I'm getting in touch with what I want to explore as an artist. And I go and I do the songs and I do the performance, and it's all based about my experience, right? Which is amazing. And I wish it on everyone that they would get such a joy out of performing like I do. But the other part of it, the behind the scenes part, is extremely fulfilling. And I'll tell you why. Because I'll give you an example. I was working with this one female artist years ago. And she was a solo artist. She hadn't done a lot of writing at the time. And she was trying to figure out what her vibe and what her writing was going to be about. And so she had these great stories about her life, but she didn't know how to put them down into melodies and into lyrics and into something that would be like a configuration of her feelings and emotions. So working with her and talking and sharing stories and then going, how about this and how about that? And then forming songs with her was so fulfilling because you could see her blossoming as a writer. So being kind of like a catalyst or a vessel to be able to help that process and develop an artist and give them ideas and guide them and teach them is like one of the most fulfilling experiences you can have in interchange with another human being. But that's about her vision. That's her finding her voice. So it's amazingly fulfilling, but as an artist, it's not necessarily as fulfilling because as an artist, you want to be able to express yourself, So I love both of it. And I also love, like, when I work with bands and then see them go out and perform and you see all of the stuff that you've taught them and all of the stuff that you've talked about and ideas that you've thrown back and forth in a collaborative effort and then see it come to life. I've gotten teared up and choked up when I've seen that actually come to life. So it's a very, very amazing and magical experience. Thanks, Thomas, for your question. Okay, next person. Let's see. From at Orchidnia, it's what is your favorite fruit? My favorite fruit is raspberries. And not only to eat, but to throw all over the wall if I'm having a mood swing. And I hope no one takes offense to that, but that happens. So I love raspberries. They're really cool. Thanks for your question. Okay. And from at Orchidnia, it says, can you say Cochem Natalie? Sure, Cochem Natalie. And she says it would mean the world to her. So thanks for that. And I hope you enjoyed me saying it. Big hearts and hugs to you. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. From at Fuckboy Loveless. So that's Fuckboylovelis. Thank you for your question. It says, what's your favorite memory from being on stage? Well, there was this one show that was in San Francisco years ago when I was performing with my band Doxy. And there was a moment where I just felt really free on stage, and then songs that I never thought I would have the opportunity to perform live, I was actually performing them. There was this one song called Tess, which I think I'll release at some point. I don't think anyone's ever heard it, but I would love to release it. But it's a song that's really close to my heart, and I wrote it with Kenny, and I was there on the stage performing it in a wedding gown that I had set on fire, because the story of the song is about a woman who is in a torrential, tumultuous relationship, and she loves him anyway. You know, we all know that feeling, you know, whether it's politically correct or not, like we all know that feeling to be in a relationship with someone that you're not supposed to be in with, but you love them anyway. And this song is about that, like just unconditional, undying love, you know? And I was on stage and I was singing it, and there's a part where I turn my back and look at the dancers behind me, and I realize, like, oh my God, I'm performing this song that means so much to me. I never thought I would sing this live, and I never thought I would feel this free. And I was kind of whirling around in a circle, like a whirling dervish. And I just remember thinking, yeah, I'm gonna remember this for the rest of my life. So that was an incredible, incredible memory that I had. And sometime I'd love to share some videos and stuff from some of my performances, just for fun, you know, and just talk about those moments on stage. So thank you for the question, and that's my favorite memory. Let's see what's next. Ashton Pasta underscore, who is my friend May. I've met you and I love you to death, and I know a little bit about you because we've shared things online and in person. And May, you're really cool and I love you bunches. So you said, how to keep so positive and motivated. You're the light at the end of my tunnel. Thank you, May. And I love hearing from you and knowing that you're okay. And I think I kind of answered the whole positive and motivated thing, but I just wanted to say hi to May because she's really cool. So there's that. Favorite musical artist right now. Oh, oh my God, I have to look on my Spotify. And oh, okay. So I found this artist called The Radio Department, and I've been playing them nonstop on repeat. And I know that seems crazy because I had to look on my Spotify, but I'm really horrible at remembering names, and I don't like Nine Inch Nails is one of my favorite bands ever, and I can't remember any of their song names. Okay, so I just don't have that memory chip in my brain. So don't think I'm a fake fan or whatever, but like sometimes I can't remember things. Anyway, the Radio Department is who I'm listening to currently. Love them. So that question was from at Harris MZ, HARRISEMZIE, and thank you so much for your question. What other question is, okay, so from at HV underscore is underscore love is, who's your biggest inspiration? So I have a lot of, thank you for your question. I have a lot of inspirations that are friends who I've collaborated with, but I'm going to talk about that at another time because I think maybe at some point I'd love to have some guests on the podcast. But I'll talk about like the really famous, you know, people, like well-known performers that have inspired me in my life. So one is Madonna, because she's this strong, crazy, amazingly driven woman, and I don't even know how she does it. But she's been an inspiration for me since I was like 15, 16 years old, just because of her drive. Like, how does someone do that? And how does somebody get so much negativity and like people criticizing her but keeps going? I mean, God, I just love her. You know, she just does not take no for an answer. She does what she wants. She expresses herself, I think, like no one else. I just think she's unabashedly, unapologetically herself, like 1,000,000% of the time. Anyway, so I love Madonna. I love Peter Gabriel, and sometime I'll tell the story about meeting him, but he's been a huge inspiration for me. And Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, who I just love his whole journey. You know, I just love his artistry and all of the stuff he's done. I love Prince. I love David Bowie. And there's a lot of people that are very inspirational to me, but I think like one, two, three, four, those five have been huge in my life as far as musical artists, you know. Writers, right now I'm always inspired by Charles Bukowski. He's one of my favorite. And Anais Nin, I love because of her journals and just how honest and open she was and how crazy she was. She was amazing. And who else? Hemingway, as a writer. His stories make me sad, but I love him very much. So thank you so much, HV is Love, for your question. Okay, here's a really good question, and I think then I'm going to wrap it up after this. But from at His Paradox on Twitter, they said, if you could only give someone one piece of advice regarding life, what piece of advice would you give them? Okay, so this is a two-folded answer. And the first thing is be present. The past is gone. The future is not here yet, so you're worrying about stuff that hasn't happened yet. You have to be present 100% of the time, because if you're in the present, the future will be exactly how you'd like it or how it's supposed to be. We spend so much time fretting over our past and ruminating it over and over and over again and not letting go of our past. Our past is our past. Whoever we were yesterday is not the same person we are today. And every moment, every present moment, you have the chance to be a fuller version of yourself. So it's very important to be present. And the number two thing is, which isn't really number two, it's part of number one, but is love. Always lead with love. Even when you feel like someone is doing you wrong, or even when someone says something about you that's not right, or you have to lead with love, and love always eradicates everything else. And as long as you're pure in your heart and you're putting your heart forward first, doesn't matter what anyone else does. Okay, so that's my biggest piece of advice. Okay, I have to take this other question that I just pulled up, but it's from at Orchidnia. My God, you're asking a lot of questions and you're cute. Lots of love, but do you remember any Polish words? So, my dad taught me some dirty Polish words because my dad was a jokester. So, he taught me pisania dupa, which means, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but kiss my ass, which I love. And then he taught me this song and he told me it was Polish. So, when I was a little girl, I grew up with my dad bouncing me on his knee and doing all kinds of fun dad things with his daughter, singing this song, and I thought it was Polish. And my dad has passed away, so he's not around anymore. But when I looked it up, when I looked the song up online, I couldn't find it anywhere. So I kind of feel like my dad was a goofball and made up a song and made me think it was Polish, but it's not. So I'll sing it to you. It goes, Yupa shupa, yupa shupa, yupa shupa dana, osmeregorana, yupa shup, pototito sishe, pototito lash, panie. Can't find that song anywhere. So anyway, that's probably not even a Polish song, but it makes my heart feel nice because my dad used to sing it to me when I was little. So that's how I'm going to end this podcast. And I know it probably was not very informative, but it's just kind of an introduction. And I'll prepare some stuff for next time. And any questions you have, please send them along on Twitter at Anna Lovelace. It's Anna Lovelace. And you can submit questions or ideas and all that stuff. Okay? So this is the beginning of our journey together. Okay, bye everybody. Love you lots. Oh, there's where my dinosaur went.